Father, we are so thankful this morning for all of your goodness and your graciousness to each one of us. Father, we are so thankful for the strength and the power that you give us to face the reality of life, that you're able to minister to each one of us your grace and your strength in every situation. Father, we just ask that this may be a time that we come into your presence, that we sense and know that you are with us, O Lord, and that you minister to each one. Amen. About 2 weeks ago, the Lord dropped a sentence in my spirit. Simply said, many times we are praying for, seeking after, and striving for things that God has already declared that we have. Seeking for, striving after, and asking for whatever, for things that God has already declared that we have. And that it's in His Word that we must hear, is His Word that we must hear in this hour. His Word of revelation and the unveiling of Himself within us. In Jeremiah 18 and 1, actually, when we think about this, the fact of the matter is that it's what we have been taught all of our lives. It's not what we have, but it's what we must do. To please God, you must do certain things. And yet, Galatians tells us that the law was the schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. And once you are a part of the family of God, you don't need that schoolmaster anymore. It would be foolish for us after we got out of school to go back to our first grade teacher and want to be taught all over again the things that we already knew. But that's the way we are taught. We're taught that we must do to please God. And I don't believe there's anything that we can do within ourselves to please God. But what God has said about us or concerning us and the things that we have. I mean, we face the realities of life every day. Yet Paul said, I am crucified, yet I live. And the life that I now live is lived by the faith of God, the Son of God. So this life, or this Christian life, or this life that we walk with God, is a life that is lived by faith, not by sight. That's what Martin Luther saw when the Reformation began, in that the just shall live by faith. I mean, we don't see God, but we know we're in His presence. It is a walk of faith. It is a life of faith. And man has taken and pulled down religion or pulled God down to a place of what we do or how we do it. But I've got news for you. The only change that can take place in our life is that comes from within. If it doesn't come from the unveiling and the revelation of His Word being made spirit within us, there can be no change. They've got all this self-help going on and how you can change your life. And you can to a certain extent. And you can go around all day and saying, hey, I'm not going to explode. I'm not going to do this. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you turn around and you have erupted. You know, and the thing of it is that God knew when He made the covenant with Abraham, He knew the weaknesses of this flesh. And He took Abraham totally out of the way. He put him to sleep. And Abraham was asleep while God made the covenant. He became the one that wrote the covenant, and then He became the one that was the promise of that covenant being fulfilled, because He knew that we couldn't do it. And so instead of trying to go through the self-help or beating ourselves because we're not doing what we think or man thinks that we ought to do, or what man's idea of Christianity is, is to do or to come out of a state of being who we are. And in Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, in the first verse, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." In Romans 8, he uses the example of the potter, how that we are the clay and he is the potter. And here's the same thing, is the potter's house. God is the potter. He molds, shapes, and makes the vessels according to his purpose, his plan, and his desire. You know, he said, "You didn't choose me." I've told y'all before, I used to sing that little song, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And I was singing it one day coming out of Greenville, and the Lord said, "You didn't decide to follow me." And that verse, I saw that verse, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you." And Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And to me, that's an awesome thought, that God chose us in Himself before the foundation of the world. And so He tells Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. And he said, "I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made was of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make." God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is the one that created everything that we see. Nothing was created without Him. He is awesome. He's not only all-powerful, He's all-present. He's everywhere present. He fills this universe. And yet, in the design and purpose of His plan, He purposed in Himself to dwell in His creation. We are His dwelling place. We are the temple of the Most High God. He's closer than the breath that we breathe. In this hour, you know, the greatest thing, and I know that a few years ago we were in South Carolina, and I ministered on the fact that I felt that God was saying to us that as in the Feast of Tabernacles, that it was time for us to come aside as they were to build the little booths and go out and set for 7 days in those booths alone with the Lord. That God was calling us individually aside to be in His presence. That's where the only change can take place in our lives. We come together like this, and it is most wonderful to be with those who are our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. To come into His presence and be oneness in Him. But the true growth in our lives can only come when we are in a personal relationship with Him. And so the potter marred the clay and remade the vessel. You know, God makes a vessel out of us. He has already predetermined, pre-planned, pre-proposed in Himself the life that we are to live and who we are. He chose us in Himself. How can He be God if He didn't do that? You know, we want to take some control for ourselves. We want to say, "Hey, this area is mine. I can do with it what I want to do with it." But in actuality, the people who say that, you never see the evidence of their doing anything to change the situation that they're in. But the fact of the matter that if we come aside with the Father and we spend time with Him, then our lives can be changed. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, he talks about being transformed, metamorphosed. And how? By going to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night? No, that's not what it says. by reading your Bible every day? No, that's not what it says. He says we are transformed or metamorphosed by the renewing of our mind. And when I looked up that word, it always heart, soul, mind, those three words. I looked them up. And in the Greek, they're the same word. It's that thing that is between your two ears. And everything, every problem that we have comes from between our two ears. Think about that. It's our mind, our soul, our heart. It's our inner being. And the fact of the matter is that by the Word and the revelation of the Spirit of God, that between our ears is being transformed, being metamorphosed, as we're in His presence. As we behold Him, the Word says. And there's nothing to do in beholding. You're just looking at Him. As you behold Him, you are changed. And that word in the Greek is metamorphosed into the same image. You know, we think, well, hey, I've come to the Lord. I'm a child of God. And the next day, we're supposed to be mature, but that's not true. This is a consistent, constant walk with God that we're going to. And so, I'm talking about the things that God has declared for us. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. You know, so many times we forget that Jesus was actually God incarnate in the flesh. It was God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Not in putting our transgressions. And I looked at that word in putting. Not keeping a record. How many times was I told growing up in church that God had a record of everything I ever did? You know, that God is there out to take care of you. In fact, last night, Rose and I watched a program about some people that live in olden times and don't come into modern times, and how that some of their children had left the sect, and that they had actually shunned them and denied them. And the story was about this young guy that got his driver's license and got in a severe automobile accident. And he was 19 years old, and he almost died, but he came through it. He had one desire. He wanted to go home and see his family. He didn't want to go back to that, but he had this idea that if he could just say, go home and see him. So the guy took him. Less than 5 minutes, he was back out in the road. He said, didn't go like I wanted to. They don't have nothing to do with me. And I said to Rose, I said, how in the world can a God that says, I love you, and that we are to love one another as He loved us, can you cut off your child because they don't believe and tell them they're going to hell because they have left your religion? It just does not make sense. It does not add up. But the Word, which was Christ, God was with God, and the Word was God. That Jesus Christ was very God, and He walked on this earth. And today, we are not worshiping that physical man that walked by the Sea of Galilee. He died on the cross. And that body that came out of the grave was the new resurrection man that could not die and would live for eternity, and went back and sat at the right hand of the Father. That was the God, or the Jesus, that we serve today and walk with. That's the one that we worship today. Not the man that walked on the earth. The man of flesh and blood. Because that man had a body just like ours that would deteriorate. That man could be killed. But that one that came out of the grave with the keys of death and hell, the glorified, resurrected Son of the living God, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and His dwelling place is in us. And the first thing that I thought about is that we are His children. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and the 2nd verse, it says, "Behold, now we are the sons of God." You know, that's the question that we settle when we come to God. I know that I and most of in this room were taught. I know the church that I went to, you're about to have to go back every Sunday and rededicate your life. You know, because during the week you had done something that guilt had just overtaken you and you had to go back. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that He said that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, that we shall be saved. You know, those are the things that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He raised from the dead. We shall be saved. That settles it. It's not because I've got goosebumps falling up and down my spine. It's not because I've got some divine feeling. But it's because faith in the Word of God, what God said, that now, and He says, now we are, today, this moment, the sons of God. And it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know by experience that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now we are. That's not tomorrow. That's not next week. Now we're here. That we are His sons. In Ephesians 2 it says, even when we were dead in sin, hath He quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. You know, the other thing about it is on in Ephesians 2 and about 8th verse, He tells us, that is that we're saved not by works, lest any man should boast. It's not what you do. You see, I always say it's not what I do, it's what I be. What I am I? I be a son of God. That's what He's declared. I'm His son. He died for me while I was in sin. It didn't say there, because I do works, but by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, lest any man should boast. You see, it's not what I do. And so here He says that while we were dead in sin, dead man can't do nothing. He quickened us. And in verse 2 it says, and hath, that's past tense, hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places with Him. Now that's not, He says, and will make us. You say, well, I don't see that. And I don't. How do I see that? The Spirit. My Spirit is seated with Christ in the throne of God. Now, it's past tense. See, it's what He has declared about us. It's not maybe. God don't use the word maybe. He said He hath raised us up. And in Colossians 2:9 says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And verse 10 says, and you are, past tense, complete in Him. You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. You know, if God declares it, that finishes it. I don't have to question it anymore. So what am I looking at? And I look at myself and I say, God, how in the world? I cannot be complete in you. What am I looking at? I'm looking at that which this eye can see. But the Bible teaches us that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. And we have all been taught all of our lives coming up in church the do's and the don'ts of pleasing God and how we have to live to please God. But you know, the fact of the matter is that we have, they left out the most important thing. In this word, God is dealing not with that outward, because if you read the Bible and study the Bible, in Galatians 5, He says, these are the works of the flesh. And in verse of chapter 6, He says, these are the gifts of the Spirit. So the flesh produces the works in chapter 5, but the Spirit produces the fruit in chapter 6. You can't sit there and grunt and say, I'm going to produce love or I'm going to produce joy. You might grunt and do something else, but you're not going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And the fact of the matter is, you can say, I'm going to love everybody, and then somebody's going to come around, and they're going to be the grittiest sandpaper that you've ever seen. They're going to rub up against you, and you're going to find out that you don't have that kind of love. But it's only the Spirit that can produce the unconditional love of God. And so the fact is that we are looking at the natural, the outward. And because this outward doesn't conform to what we have a mental picture of a child of God, then we say, well, hey, I'm not complete in Him. But God has declared that you're to complete in Him. Why? God doesn't look at the outward man. There's only one place in the Bible, well, actually two places, I believe, where God's going to deal with this outward man. One is in Romans 8, that He talks about the manifestation or the unveiling of the sons of God. The second one is in 1 Corinthians 15. He says that when the last trump shall sound, that we shall be changed, that this corruptible, is going to put on incorruptible. And this mortal, this body, is going to put on immortality. God is going to take care of that at that time. But until that time, He's dealing with the Spirit. And it's the renewing of the mind, the metamorphosis of our mind, that can only bring solid change and permanent change within us. The fruit of the Spirit can only be produced by the Spirit in our lives. And so we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But of Him are you in Christ. And Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, it's not what I do, it's what I be. It's out of my being that the Christ can come forth and be seen. It's out of the reality of who I am in Christ that I can actually begin to be changed from what I was into what God is making me to be. It's not what I do. What did He say? Be still and know that I am God. They that wait upon the Lord. He didn't say they that work and do, but they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. You see, it's in His presence that we are changed and that we are conformed into His image. Now, am I saying that we are to sit back and do nothing? No, I'm not saying that. We are to walk in that we know. Many people today are walking in only one revelation, and that is the revelation of salvation of Martin Luther. That's all they know. That's what they're walking in. Some are walking in just a Pentecostal revelation, and so forth. But we are to live in that we know, and the Word says that obedience is better than sacrifice. So if God was to speak to you and say, I want you to go to Africa or to India or wherever to minister my Word, that's where you're to be. But where He has placed you, that is where you are to live and to shine out His glory into this world. And in Philippians 3:9 it says, and be found, and I love this, be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So it's not my righteousness. Because my righteousness is as a filthy rags. But it is His righteousness that I have. Then in Romans 8 and 1, and I love this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Chapter 8 comes after chapter 7. In chapter 7, Paul said, the things that I would do, those are the things that I do not do. And the things that I would not do, those are the things that I do do. And then in Romans 8:1, what changed? He realized that in the Spirit there is no condemnation. God has taken us out of that condemnation realm. We lived in it all of our lives. Lord knows we did. I remember my mother, she came, told me one day, she said, Dwight, she said, I am so tired of being condemned when I go to church. I don't know what to do. But God's Word says there is therefore now, not tomorrow, not next week, not when you get to be 100, but now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Living in that spirit realm. And in conclusion, one more verse, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In the Amplified it says, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Spirit who is from God, given us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed upon us by God. See, God's not the God that I was taught He was. Yes, He is the all-powerful God. Yes, He's the all-knowing God. Yes, He's the omnipresent God. But He's not the God that is sitting there just waiting to get you. He's not the old man that's sitting there that's so grumpy that He don't care what goes on. But He is a God that said, for God so loved, unconditionally loved the world, that He gave His uniquely begotten Son. God's got many sons. And in this hour, God is coming together, bringing together a corporate son. Bible says that His body is of many members. Just as our body is many members, so is His body. He has a many-membered body. A corporate son. Jesus was one son, was a uniquely begotten virgin born. But in this hour, God is establishing in the earth a corporate son. One body with one head. From all over this world, He is ministering to. He is giving revelation to. He is unveiling His Word to. That day that will come, when Romans 8 says that He will unveil the sons of God. Creation, if you put it in the actual terms, it says is standing on tiptoes looking for the unveiling of the sons of God. Because in that hour, creation will be set free from the bondage and the curse that it's under. God's preparing His Son in the earth in this hour that only Christ will be the head of. There's only not any other head. He's the head. We are the body of Christ. We're His members in particular that He is doing. So in this hour, it behooves us to come aside individually with Him, to be in His presence, to walk in His presence, to know Him as He is, to see His love, His work, His hand, hallelujah, His care and concern about us. Because these old bodies are getting older. And the older they get, the more they creak and crack and pop and everything else happens. And the only trust that we have is in Him. We trust Him with our lives because in Him we live and we move and we have our being. He is our Lord, He is our Father, He is our God. And even though He is a God that created this universe, He lives and dwells within each of us. He's closer than the breath that we breathe. And whenever we draw aside from the problems and the troubles and the cares of this world, He's there. Praise God, He is there to take us and to speak His word within us. And that is more important because Jesus said, "My words, they are spirit and they are life." And we have come into or entered into that spiritual realm by being His sons, His children, the sheep of His pasture, that He has called out from a life in this world to Himself. And yet He has revealed to us, He's brought us out of sin consciousness into a God consciousness that we know Him as He is, His love and His mercy. And you know, when we walk with Him, our lives are being changed. We can't always see those changes. We can't always see and put our finger on what He's doing in us. But we know that He is working within us. And so as we look at His Word, look at the things that He's declared that we already have. The things that He has declared we already are. That we are His sons. There's no question about that. That we're complete in Him. That our life is hid with Christ in God. That no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. You know, that He'll bring us through the river, through the waters, through the fire. Whatever it is, He will do it. The earthquake passed by. The storms passed by. But God was not in them. But then the still, small voice of God spoke to the prophet. So it's in the night hours that He is there. It's in the midst of the storms that He is there. It's in the reality of the crisis of life that He is always there. Hallelujah, and will give us the strength. He says, "My grace is sufficient for whatever comes, no matter how humongous the storm may be." He says, "My grace is sufficient." That God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What an awesome Father we walk with. What an awesome Father that we have. That He cares. He cares so much for each one of us. That He is even guiding our footsteps with His eye. That He's bringing us through everything that touches our lives. That we are more than conquerors. We overwhelmingly conquer through Christ Jesus. It's not what I do. It's what He's already done. My life is hid with God in Christ. And that for I lean upon Him. That He will do His word. Because He that has started a good work in us, He's going to finish it. Praise God. Amen.